walked in to face the assembly. The assembly always looked serious. Now they looked like they were at a funeral. Call looked up and down the long wooden table, recognizing faces. The masters of the magisterium, people from important families like the Rajavis, and Graves presiding over it all.
"Mr. Hunt," said Graves, gesturing for Call and Tamara to come and stand before the table.
It was on a raised dais, so the assembly looked down on them, some impassively, some with pity.
"We understand you've been orchestrating a plan."
"That's right," Call told him, trying to project all the authority that he'd never thought of himself as having. "We're going to pull Alex back from chaos."
"You think you can make him undevoured?" said Master Milagros. "That's never been done."
"Actually, it has," said Call. "It requires 4 devoured, representing each of the other elements."
"And you want us to provide you devoured from ourselves?" said Graves. "Well, that's impossible."
"You don't need to," Tamara cut in angrily. "We've already assembled our own team."
"Though you did promise you'd cooperate with us and help us."
Call added, "We promised not to stand in your way," said Graves. "And we have not."
"Then you'd better not now," said Call, "because this whole plan depends on me and Tamara and Jasper doing what you want, and in exchange, we want something."
"What is it?"
said Master North.
"We want to let Alex Strike live," said Call.
A murmur ran through the room. Call heard, "Traitor," and "Never," and, as always,
"Enemy."
Anger swelled inside him, and he let himself feel it. It was better than being afraid.
"I'm not who you think I am,"
he thought at the assembly.
"I'm worse."
Tamara spoke over the hubbub.
"We've learned that maybe Alex isn't in control of himself. Maybe he is in thrall to someone else. Maybe he never chose to do any of those things."
Jasper whipped his head toward Call. Gwenda frowned. So did Master Rufus. All of them clearly wanted to interrupt, but they didn't.
"Who could he possibly have been in thrall to?"
Graves wanted to know.
"We all saw him on the battlefield. We all saw him lead an army of the chaos-ridden. And had he been in thrall to Master Joseph, the spell would have ended when Joseph died."
Call took a deep breath.
"His stepmother. Anastasia Tarquin."
They all goggled, looking around at one another. Anastasia Tarquin had been one of them. An assembly member. It was only after the last battle that they'd discovered her betrayal and realized who she truly was, the mother of Constantine Madden, working behind the scenes to help Master Joseph get hold of Call in the hopes Call would remember his past.
"All we want is for you to agree that if he's defeated, and it turns out that he wasn't acting on his own, he won't be thrown in the Panopticon," said Call.
"I know what it's like to be misjudged. I know what it's like for people to think you're evil when circumstances pushed you in that direction and you didn't have any good choices."
"And you really believe that of Alex?"
Master Rufus's expressive eyebrows were raised.
"I know what it's like to feel like you can't go back, that you have no hope of a second chance."
Call tried to look his most sympathetic and heroic, but he was afraid that what he actually looked like was someone bugging out his eyes. On the other hand, he couldn't look more bug-eyed than Jasper did.
"If you believe you can defeat Alex and leave him alive," said Graves, "then you believe he can be taken prisoner
That is ridiculous, said Mr. Rajavi, staring in disbelief. He will still be an out-of-control Makar.
No, he won't, said Call quickly. Stripping him of all chaos will strip his Makar powers, too. He'll be an ordinary mage.
Graves shook his head slowly.
This is madness.
Think of what he knows, said Tamara suddenly. All Master Joseph's magic, Anastasia's secrets. If he died and we never learned any of those things...
Graves's eyes sparkled.
You understand, he said, that if he seems rebellious or resistant, we will have to kill him.
Of course, Call said. We get it. We just think there's a good person in there, trapped under Anastasia's commands.
Once he's been subdued, we will have him come before the assembly and give an accounting of all his misdeeds and Anastasia's role in them. Then we will decide what to believe, said Graves.
I understand, said Call. Thank you. But there's one more thing. I want you to change your policy on the Devoured.
You can't be serious, Master North said.
I am, said Call. If they're going to help us defeat Alex here, then they're going to want to be treated fairly, not like criminals and monsters.
Most of them live quietly among the elements.
Jasper added suddenly, No one's saying you shouldn't arrest a Devoured who does something wrong, but it's wrong to assume that they're evil without giving them a chance.
This is about your sister, said Graves, staring narrowly at Tamara. Isn't it?
Ravan is a good example, she said stubbornly. She's never done anything wrong.
Jasper coughed a cough that sounded like
jailbreak.
Call and Tamara ignored him.
She helped defeat Master Joseph, said Tamara, and for that she's being hunted.
She's dangerous, said Graves.
Many things are dangerous, Mrs. Rajavi said, voice dry.
Her husband looked at her as though there was something he wished to communicate, but she was looking straight ahead.
Although the Assembly may conclude that my decision is biased, I would like to say that knowing Ravan has revealed to me that though the Devoured are not as they were, they are not elementals either. We should treat them better, and we might find better allies in them.
Graves cleared his throat.
This is most irregular.
Call waited, unwilling to back down.
We will discuss and inform you of our decision, Graves finally said unhappily. And now we want to wish the three of you good luck tomorrow. We stand ready to assist you once Alex is subdued. We will be there, shields in place, to make sure that Alex cannot call on any more creatures of chaos. We will be witness to your bravery.
But we're not going to be coming to help you.
Thanks, said Call.
Great.
And when we're done, we're going to come back and discuss our reward.
Reward?
Graves sputtered. What reward?
We'll let you know, Call promised, grinning in Jasper's direction.
If they managed the rest of this, getting Jasper's dad out of prison was going to be a cakewalk. Then, together, they left the assembly. As they did, Call heard Master Rufus getting grilled and felt a little bit bad. But it was hard to feel too guilty when he was still so nervous about his plan coming together.
What was all that back there? Gwenda asked.
What do you mean?
Call asked innocently.
You really think Alex is being controlled by someone else? She put a hand on her hip and gave him the sort of look you give someone when you believe you can tell if they're lying by some physical tick. Cole hoped that wasn't true. "Maybe," he said. "Fine," she said. "Don't tell me. I'm going back to the room. Jasper, come on." She stomped off. Surprisingly, Jasper followed without comment. Tamara sighed, looking guilty.
"You know we're not done, right?" Aaron said in Cole's head.
"What do you mean?" Cole asked.
"Well, you're not going to like it, but there's one more person you're going to have to get on board."
"Who?" Cole asked, although he had a bad feeling he already knew.
"Anastasia Tarquin. You have to convince her to back up your story. She's not going to do that."
Cole explained to Tamara about Anastasia Tarquin and how Aaron thought they should contact her.
"But I don't even know how to do that."
"We should call her," said Tamara, "on the tornado phone."
"That can't work," Cole said. "Alex is probably off doing evil with her. I don't think she's just hanging around waiting for phone calls."
"Well, if it doesn't, then we'll try something else," Tamara said, changing direction and heading toward Rufus's office.
"I don't want to do this," he thought. "I never know what to say to her."
"Look," said Aaron, "I was in foster care for a while. I know how to talk to people who want you to call them Mom."
Cole couldn't dispute that. He followed Tamara to Rufus's office, a path that took them along the underground river. He remembered the first time he, Tamara, and Aaron had ever traveled on this river together. They'd been in a boat with Rufus, and had watched in wonder as Rufus had summoned water elementals to propel the boat along. Cole remembered the sound of Tamara and Aaron's laughter bouncing off the cave walls.
"Misty, watercolored memories of the way we were," said Aaron.
Cole snorted. They'd reached Master Rufus's office, and Tamara held the door open so he could follow her in. The tornado phone was on Rufus's desk, and for the first time, Cole noticed a photograph, propped up next to it, of Rufus, standing with his arm around a man wearing gold-rimmed glasses. He looked like a nice guy, the sort who might own a bookstore or a movie theater. Cole wondered how he was going to feel when he found out he was married to a secret magical ninja. Tamara put her hand on the glass containing the whirling tornado of the phone.
"Anastasia Tarquin," she said.
The smoke inside the glass spun and coalesced. Cole saw the outlines of what looked like a modern loft, a big space with lots of wood and chrome and big windows looking out onto what he guessed was New York City. Anastasia, standing at a big metal sink, looked up in surprise as the smoke focused on her face.
"Who is it?"
she hissed, glancing around.
"It's me. Callum Hunt."
Anastasia's expression changed. She hesitated, then said,
"It isn't safe to talk.
He could be back any second."
"She means Alex,"
Tamara muttered.
"Tell her you missed her,"
said Aaron.
"I missed you,"
Cole said. She wasn't going to believe it, he thought. He'd refused to visit her in prison.
But her expression softened.
"Meet me at the abandoned village of the Order," she said. "We can talk there."
In the distance came the sound of a door opening. She waved her hand frantically at them.
"Go! I'll see you in an hour."
Tamara took her hand off the glass, and the image inside spun away to smoke. But not before Cole caught a glimpse of Alex walking into the loft. He seemed to radiate darkness.
even through the mechanism of the phone.
I feel gross,
Cole said, staring at the smoke.
Not as gross as we're going to feel after we talk with her, said Tamara matter-of-factly. The village is pretty far away. We should get going.
I don't think you should come, Cole said, knowing she wasn't going to like that.
Of course I'm coming, she said. Don't be ridiculous.
This could be a trap, Cole said. I don't think it is. I believe she meant what she said, but Anastasia could decide that she needs to keep me safe by kidnapping me again. That's always a possibility.
Then I'll be there to help you get away, Tamara said.
But if Anastasia does come, she's going to be more likely to be convinced if I'm by myself.
Cole sighed. He didn't want to go alone any more than Tamara wanted him to, but he knew he should.
At least you'll have me,
Aaron said.
Fine,
Tamara said. I won't go all the way with you, but I am going to stand at the top of the ridge and make sure nothing happens. If Anastasia does kidnap you or betray you, at least I can let people know. At least we can come after you.
Cole sighed. Okay.
He still felt rotten.
They snuck out through the mission gate. When they passed other students on the way out, Cole noticed there was some whispering. But it didn't seem bad. They weren't frowning and didn't look scared. They looked like Cole once had, watching older students head out on an important mission. They walked together through the woods, Tamara taking Cole's hand when one of them had to cross over a rocky portion or jump over a log. Cole thought of the night she'd come to his hotel room, about the conversation they'd almost had. Maybe he should say something? But maybe this wasn't the best time to bring up their relationship, since there was every possibility Anastasia was going to try to pop his head off with wind magic the moment he saw her. He was still trying to think of what to say when they came to the ridge. Tamara leaned over and kissed his cheek.
For luck, she said to his surprised expression. Good luck to Aaron, too. You'll do great.
Which was a little weird, but still made him happy to hear. If you hear a terrified, reedy scream, that will be me, Cole said, then headed down the hill. Anastasia was already standing in what was left of the Order of Disorders village, an air elemental floating behind her. The houses looked even more dilapidated, and the land even more overgrown than it had the last time they were here, when they'd fought Alex and Aaron had died. It was unnerving to be in the same place again, with the players in such similar positions.
You're telling me, said Aaron.
There was a jitteriness in his voice that worried Cole. They were in the place Aaron had died, after all. He tried to push the thought away so Aaron wouldn't have to share it. Anastasia smiled when Cole came into view, and he smiled back at her. He tried to feel sympathy. After all, she loved Constantine, despite everything he'd done. She loved him enough to bring him to the Magisterium and to work behind the scenes to make sure he was safe, even after he'd become a monster and another person entirely. She loved Constantine sort of the way Alistair had loved Cole, except that Cole didn't think that Alistair would have put up with quite so much of all the enemy of death stuff. But maybe he was wrong. Maybe Alistair would have loved him even if he was an evil overlord. Cole wasn't sure what he wanted to believe, but it did make him feel a little bit bad for Anastasia.
Tell her we unlocked some memories, Aaron said.
Just don't tell her which ones. Tell her you're sorry you didn't remember her before.
I have something to tell you, Anastasia, he said.
She looked at him with a mixture of hesitation and hope.
I really didn't remember you. And I'm sorry, he said. But I realized after Alex came here that Constantine had locked away his memories inside my head. He was worried a baby wouldn't be able to withstand an adult's memories. He arranged it so I wouldn't remember until I was ready.
And you were ready?
Anastasia demanded.
I guess, Cole said.
We were attacked by wolves, and the memories just opened up. I could see myself pacing back and forth in front of Jericho's tomb.
Tell her you could see her.
Aaron's tone was firm.
I could see you, Mom,
Cole said.
I know how much you loved me, and how much you cared about what happened to me.
Anastasia's face began to crumble. Her carefully applied makeup ran as her tears streamed down her cheeks.
Tell her it's not her fault.
Nothing that happened to me was your fault, Cole said.
Oh, Kong!
She gasped, and threw herself at him, seizing him up in a tight embrace. Cole dug his heels into the soft dirt to keep from being yanked off his feet. He was as tall as Anastasia, but she had the strength of hysteria.
I need your help now, though, Cole said, not so impatient, kindly.
Please, Cole added.
It's about Alex.
She drew back from him, troubled.
I know he's very angry, she said. He blames you, and he shouldn't. He doesn't understand that you didn't remember. I'm sure when you explain it to him...
Explain it to Alex? Cole choked back a laugh.
I won't be able to do that, he said. The Magisterium has set it up so that Alex and I are going to have to fight.
They want me to kill him.
Savages.
Anastasia's face darkened.
To force brother to fight brother.
She can't seriously think of us as brothers.
You can't contradict her, said Aaron.
Make her understand the danger. You and Alex could both die.
You know how strong I am, Cole said, trying to look at her the way Constantine would have.
If Alex and I fight, we'll kill each other.
She looked fearful. He is a devoured of chaos.
I don't think either of us will survive.
That's why I need your help. We could run away, she said. All three of us live together, me and my two sons.
She looked at him mistily.
Not as long as Alex is a devoured of chaos, said Cole.
Think of it as a disease we have to cure. As long as the chaos is eating him up, he'll hate me, and then one day he'll start to hate you.
The devoured cannot be cured,
Anastasia protested.
They can.
Cole tried to project confidence and assuredness as Aaron spoke to him silently.
I've set it all up.
The Magisterium insists we meet in combat, and I know how to draw the chaos out of him. Once that happens, we'll be all right. As long as you tell them Alex only ever did the bad things he did because you asked him to.
Because I asked him to, she drew back. How will that help?
It's what they think anyway, said Cole.
Don't tell her they think it because you told them so.
Cole ignored that. They need to believe it wasn't him. Otherwise they'll track him to the ends of the earth and execute him. But you can take the blame and escape.
Tell her it really isn't blame. Tell her she'll be a hero. So many people will think she did the right thing.
Cole took a deep breath. A lot of people don't agree with the Mage World's decisions about things, he said.
The way they kill Makar in Europe. The way they treat the devoured. the way they blamed Constantine when all I, was trying to do was to end death and suffering.
Anastasia nodded, her eyes fixed on his.
Cole felt as if he was giving the most important speech of his life.
"I'm sure that when you stand up and speak, many will sympathize," said Cole,
"and you can flee on your air elemental. You can make sure it's standing by.
Tell her about the future," Aaron said.
"The Magisterium will pardon Alex," Cole said, "and then we'll come to you, and we'll leave the mage world behind. We can spend our lives traveling."
He thought of the similar words Alistair had spoken to him when he'd begged him to leave the Magisterium.
"We can be together."
Anastasia's cool gray eyes glowed.
"Very well," she said slowly. "You'd better fill me in on exactly how this plan is going to go."
Chapter 15.
Cole felt guilty as he walked up the hill. When he saw Tamara at the top, his expression was bleak.
"Did it not work?"
she asked him.
"It worked," he said. "I was just thinking how maybe I understand why people are afraid of chaos mages.
Maybe they should be afraid." Tamara put her hand on Cole's shoulder.
"It's not fair that because you're a Makar you have to deal with all this. It wasn't fair when it was Aaron, and it's not fair when it's you. We're still kids. Maybe not kids like we were when we came to the Magisterium, but too young to be responsible for the lives of so many other people. I think you're doing great."
"If you think so, then I guess it must be true," Cole said.
"This is my fault,"
Aaron said.
"No, it's not."
Cole thought back. "This time it's not any of our faults." Tamara took his hand and held it all the way back to the mission gate. When they came through, Jasper and Gwenda were waiting for them, looking grave.
"What happened?"
Cole demanded loudly, cutting through the other voices. Gwenda looked abruptly apologetic, and a cold sliver of fear ran through him.
"You better come," said Jasper.
"Now." He started moving through the tunnels fast enough that Cole had to ask him to slow down twice just to keep up. When they arrived back at their common room, Master Rufus was there, looking very grave. Beside him was a devoured of air. He appeared in the form of a grayish mist that moved out from the shape of his body to evaporate in the air. His features became more and less distinct as the cloud-like shape of his body shifted. Cole could see his glasses, the shape of his face, even the translucent outline of gray and brown hair. Cole knew him. He didn't want to, but he did. The devoured was Alistair. His father. For a moment, Cole's bad leg almost gave out. He lurched sideways and caught himself on a table. All Cole's thoughts had fled. He didn't want to believe what he was looking at. He didn't want to see what was in front of him. He didn't want to comprehend it.
"Dad,"
he said. The word came out broken. Tamara gasped.
"He must really love you," said Aaron, which seemed all wrong to Cole at the same time that it was true.
"Dad," he said again, and the shape flowed toward him, enveloped him in fog and whirling wind. There was nothing comforting in that touch. It was too inhuman, too cold.
"Cole,"
Alistair's voice said.
I'm sorry, but this is the only way I could help you. We could have found someone else, Cole pleaded. There wasn't time.
Alistair told him.
But you hate magic!
Cole shouted, angry now. It wasn't fair. It wasn't fair that Alistair had to sacrifice himself. None of this was fair. None of it had ever been fair. But Alistair shouldn't have had to give up everything. How are you going to go to garage sales now? How are you going to tinker with cars? How are you going to even drive cars? What is going to happen to all your antiques? He choked. What about our life together? What about our life?
I needed to help you, Cole, said Alistair. There's no life for me if anything happens to you. You're my son.
And you're his father, Tamara said. You shouldn't have done this. Cole needs you.
This wasn't what I wanted either, Alistair said. I will miss going to movies, working on cars together, walking havoc, being father and son, being part of his life as he gets older and marries, bouncing a grandchild on my knee.
Tamara looked stricken.
Maybe this is the price I have to pay for not having told Cole the truth about magic for all those years, said Alistair. For every time I didn't trust him. We have to trust the people we love.
Now it's even more important that the Assembly change its rules on the Devoured, said Jasper somberly. So Alistair can be with Cole sometimes, and Tamara, so you can see Ravan.
Ravan! She gave a little gasp. We have to summon her and the others. Aren't we supposed to be at Alex's tower at dawn?
Alistair, Master Rufus spoke in a rumbling voice. It is a noble thing you have done. Noble and painful. Even if the Magisterium does not, I will do all I can to help you after this.
Thank you, old teacher, said Alistair. I will be waiting for you all outside the mission gate at dawn.
He dissolved into the air and vanished. Cole slumped down at the table. He didn't care about Alex right then. He didn't care about anything but his father. He couldn't think about anything but Alistair and how Alistair was both fine and totally not at all never again going to be fine. He felt numb. All over. Numb. And strange.
Tamara, Gwenda, Jasper, said Rufus. Go and get yourselves ready for tomorrow. New uniforms have been laid out for you. They have spells that repel dark magic woven into the fabric.
I didn't know you could do that. Aaron marveled.
Call 'em. Stay here a moment, said Rufus. I want a word with you.
The others left. Tamara, reluctantly. Cole could tell she wanted to stay with him. He'd have to get ready, too. They were supposed to leave first thing in the morning, but he felt as if he couldn't drag himself to his feet. Somehow what Alistair had done had been the last straw.
Cole, said Master Rufus. I need you to know something.
Cole looked up.
I have had many students over the years, Master Rufus continued. Some of the best who have ever come out of the Magisterium. And some of the worst.
Cole stared dully. He waited for Master Rufus to tell him what a disappointment he was.
I know I have not always been there when you needed me. I felt you, above all others, needed to find your own way. It was often painful not to reach out a hand. But even when you were given the choice to run rather than face a Devoured of Chaos, you did not take it.
Master Rufus inclined his head.
I think, of all my students, I have been the proudest of you.
Humph, said Aaron.
I will be there for you tomorrow.
Rufus went on.
Whatever happens, I will be by your side and Tamara's. I could ask for no greater honor.
Cole cleared his throat. Thanks, Rufus. Rufus nodded and departed the way he always did, without ceremony. Cole headed to his room, bone weary. Havoc, who had been closed in there, leaped all over him in excitement. Cole fell onto the bed and tried to sleep. He didn't think he would, but, exhausted and overwhelmed, he did. When Cole woke, he felt better about the world. He still felt scared about his dad, but he was starting to see that being a devoured of air might not be the worst thing. At least his dad wasn't going to get old and die like other people's fathers. Alistair would outlive Cole, and maybe Alistair couldn't make him dinner and take care of him exactly the way he had before, but Alistair wasn't the greatest cook anyway, and Cole was probably headed to the Collegium. If he didn't die. That positive attitude didn't last very long. Aaron said. You know me, Cole said. It's not easy to be roommates, especially in the same head. But I'm glad you've been with me. I am glad it was you in my head. Whatever happens, you're the best, best friend ever. Not a lot of people would have been okay with me being in here, said Aaron, and almost no one would have risked what you did to bring me back to life. You always act like you should be grateful to me for being your friend, just because I'm nice and polite and can make people like me. But I am the one who should be grateful, Cole. And I am. Cole grinned. He felt a little bit embarrassed, but overall surprisingly calm as he put on the stuff the Magisterium had given them to wear. He tied up his boots, slid Miri through his belt, and walked out into the common room, only to see Gwenda and Jasper making out on the couch, which was a bit like walking into a field of daisies on a nice spring morning, only to be run over by a truck.
Gack!
Said Aaron.
My eyes!
Cole yelled, slapping a hand over them. Tamara walked out of her room just in time to see Jasper and Gwenda spring apart. What's going on? She asked, frowning. I heard shouting. Jasper's neck was a little flushed.
We were, just resolving some issues between us.
Gwenda was looking shyly at the ground. A small smile curved her mouth. I did not see that coming, Cole said, a bit dazed.
Are you kidding?
Tamara elbowed him in the side.
It's been coming for forever. What did you think all that flirting in the car was about?
Flirting?
Jasper said. Now he was annoyed. But Gwenda and Tamara shared a smile. Come on, Tamara said. We're going to eat breakfast and then we're going to battle the evil overlord, the real evil overlord. They ate quickly. Gwenda and Jasper held hands the whole time, and Cole kept wondering if he should have pulled Tamara into a kiss, or held her hand, or done something. It wasn't fair that Jasper seemed ridiculous a lot, but then turned out to know more than Cole about relationships and girls and sometimes even magic.
Tamara likes you, Aaron said. Remember, today we're optimists.
You're always an optimist, Cole muttered under his breath.
At that moment, there was a knock on the door, and no more time for discussion. Master Rufus was there with Master Milagros and Assemblyman Graves. They had brought magical rope with them.
We're not going to tie your arms tightly, said Graves, but we must give the appearance of going along with his commands.
Tamara, said Master Milagros, your sister is here and she wants to talk to you.
Ravan?
Asked Tamara. She has not yet been summoned. It's Kimaya who wants to talk with you. She's waiting for you outside the gates.
Cole suddenly remembered that Alex had wanted Kimaya handed over to them as well, that he thought she was still his girlfriend. He also remembered the last time they'd seen Kimaya. She'd been throwing her arms around Alex while he gloated, and Tamara looked as if she'd been kicked in the stomach, so Cole wasn't inclined to like her much. Tamara swallowed hard.
Okay. I want to see her.
They headed down the corridor after Master Rufus. Cole's optimistic mood was turning quickly into tension as they passed knots of staring, silent students. He was pretty sure most of them didn't know what was going on, but they knew enough to understand that bad things were happening. After all, many of them had seen Alex attack, and they'd all seen the Golden Tower rising on the horizon like a knife pointing at the sky. Cole kept looking at things as they passed. The door to his old rooms, the ones he'd shared with Tamara and Aaron, the way to the refectory, the twisting path to the library, the glowing patterns of stones in the walls, the stairs that led to the gallery. He couldn't stop wondering if it was the last time he'd ever see any of them again. Suddenly, there was a loud bark. Havoc had burst through the door of their rooms and was charging up the hallway. He almost careened into Cole, jumping up to put his paws on Cole's chest and whining frantically.
"What's going on?" Cole patted Havoc's head. "What's wrong, boy?"
"Nothing," Aaron said. "He wants to go with you."
"He just wants to come," said Tamara. "We shouldn't leave him behind."
"But he's not a chaos-ridden wolf anymore," said Cole. "It's not fair to bring him."
"Isn't it better," said Rufus, "that he wishes to go with you out of love and loyalty, and not because he is bound to you by chaos? He is your wolf, and I think he has earned his place at your side."
So they headed out of the mission gate as a group of six. Master Rufus, Tamara, Gwenda, Jasper, and Cole, with Havoc bringing up the rear. Cole saw Kimaya immediately. She was standing with Mr. and Mrs. Rajavi, who were huddled together in a tight family group. All of them were staring warily at Alastair, who hovered translucently near, but not too near, a number of assembly members. Given what had happened to Ravan, Cole felt like he couldn't blame the Rajavis for looking at Alastair like that. Devoured of any kind must horrify them, but he blamed them anyway. Tamara immediately detached from their group and ran toward her family, while Cole and the others headed toward Alastair and the mages. Havoc and Cole greeted Alastair, who brushed an airy hand over Cole's hair, stirring the strands without quite touching him. Havoc nosed around Alastair and barked worriedly as he passed through Alastair's legs. Around them, a few other members of the assembly milled, consulting with some other mages Cole didn't know who were explaining about the tower. They had apparently really built the whole thing with a TV room and a lot of bedrooms, but they'd used the same enchanted materials that they used on the Panopticon. It would be a lot harder for Alex to summon chaos creatures once he was inside, and they planned on sealing up the way in and out once Cole and his people were inside. It would also allow the mages to see through the materials, to watch what happened, and come to Cole's aid if it was at all possible.
"Although that opens up the danger of Alex Strike being able to summon more elementals of chaos,"
Graves said.
"Tell him you won't need help," Aaron said. "People like to hear that kind of thing."
"But what if we do need help?"
Cole wanted to know.
"Just say it," said Aaron. He's no more or less likely to help no matter what you tell him, but he'll think you're brave, and he'll like you better. Sometimes Aaron could be a little scary.
No, a lot scary.
I can handle Alex, Cole said. Graves did look relieved. Before he'd have to promise anything else, Cole headed toward where Tamara was greeting her family.
I've been telling everyone how sorry I am,
Kimaya said.
I didn't realize how angry Alex was. I thought it would be kind of fun to make our own organization, to have our own thing. Alex said that the Assembly had lied to everyone, that Constantine had been dead for a long time, and they just wanted everyone to be afraid. And when I realized it was true, Constantine had been gone, I believed all the other stuff he said, too. I never thought he'd hurt Aaron. If I'd known that, everything would have been different.
Tamara looked at her sister with suspicion.
He wanted to hurt people. He did hurt people. I took a chance on someone I cared about,
Kimaya said, with a pointed look at Cole, which was totally unfair.
Well, it was a little unfair.
And I was wrong. But now I'm here to help take him down.
Tamara looked at her sister without warmth or trust. Sometimes Cole forgot how unflinchingly stubborn she could be.
You're not going to be restrained, she told her sister. You're going to have to be the one who acts first. Once we're inside, you're going to have to make sure the Devoureds have what they need to manifest, including Ravan.
There was a soft explosion at the sound of Ravan's name. Ravan appeared, a feathery plume of smoke and flame.
Ravan, Tamara said, and sighed in relief. You're here.
The Devoured of Fire burned her way closer. You could see the shape of Ravan now, her long hair and young face shaped out of flames. She spoke.
My little family, made of wax and tinder. Do you fear me?
Mrs. Rajavi shook her head.
I can't look.
She turned away, her face tear-stained.
Mother, do you not see me?
Ravan said, flickering.
Will you say you do not know me? Ravan,
Mrs. Rajavi said, an immense sadness in her voice.
We knew you before, but we are not sure we know you now. Perhaps I am unknowable.
Ravan flickered once.
But I will burn for your sake, all the same. My daughters.
Mrs. Rajavi began to sob.
Oh, Ravan. Oh, Tamara and Kimaya. Am I going to lose you all? How could this happen? Why our family?
Tamara and Kimaya came forward to comfort their mother. Cole had always had mixed feelings about the Rajavis. They had been cold to him, though kind to Aaron, and they struck him as stern and cruel. But the realization that they were facing losing all their children today made Cole back away to give them space. He was immediately buttonholed by Master Rufus.
Cole, he said. It's time to summon the last two Devoured.
Cole followed Master Rufus to the center of a loose circle of mages. Jasper and Gwenda were there already. The mages watched in silence as Jasper summoned a small pool of water, which bubbled up around his feet. He knelt down and touched it.
Lucas,
he said, and jumped backward in surprise as the pool shot upward in a column, forming into the shape of Lucas, devoured of water. The mages gasped, and several of them backed away. It was Cole's turn. He took Greta's geode out of his pocket, bent down, and brought it down with as much force as he could muster against the side of a rock. It smashed apart into glittering fragments. They all stared at the fragments expectantly. Nothing happened.
Is it working?
Jasper hissed into Cole's ear.
"Yoo-hoo!"
said a bored voice, and they all turned to see Greta, a rumbling pile of rocks, hovering around the edge of the circle.
"I'm here."
She and Lucas waved at each other. Alistair walked over to them slowly, and Ravan drifted along, trailing sparks. The mages all moved away to give the devoured space, or perhaps to give themselves space from the devoured. Hearing shouting, Cole turned to find Gwenda in the middle of a fierce argument with Master Rufus.
"But I should go," she said. "I'm part of the apprentice group. I helped collect the devoured."
Master Rufus shook his head.
"Absolutely not, Gwenda. Cole, Jasper, and Tamara are going because Alex demanded they go. I will not sacrifice the safety of another student for no good reason."
"It is a good reason," Gwenda said. "I can help protect them."
She whirled around and saw Cole.
"Cole, tell them I should go with you."
Cole hesitated. "Gwenda, you've been a really good friend, and you've saved our butts a bunch of times since Gold Year started. I'm sorry if I ever underestimated you. But there's no way Alex would let you come with us. The minute he saw someone he didn't ask for, he'd unleash chaos." Gwenda's eyes glittered angrily, but Cole could tell she knew he wasn't lying.
"I don't want to be left behind," she said.
Cole looked at Master Rufus. "Can't she come in with the teachers and the assembly?" he asked. "It would only be fair." Master Rufus sighed.
"I'll see what I can do. Everyone, listen!"
It was Assemblyman Graves's voice, amplified and echoing.
"Colum Hunt, Tamara Rajavi, Jasper de Winter, please come to stand before me."
Tamara moved reluctantly away from her family. Jasper peeled himself away from Lucas, and a few seconds later they were all standing in front of Assemblyman Graves, along with Havoc, who'd snuck in next to Cole.
"That chaos-ridden wolf!"
Graves began angrily.
"He's not chaos-ridden," said Cole. "He's a regular wolf."
Graves stared at Havoc, who blinked normal, wide, greenish wolf eyes at him.
"I could have sworn."
Tamara giggled and immediately stifled the sound. Graves glared.
"Bind their hands,"
he said. Master Milagros and Master North came up behind them. Cole and the others put their hands behind their backs, and the teachers began to wind strips of flexible enchanted metal around their wrists. Cole knew it was necessary, but anger was still boiling inside him.
"These will come off when you tug against them three times in rapid succession," Graves told them, "but they will also be destroyed. So please don't test that in advance."
Tamara looked over at him guiltily, clearly having been just about to do that. Alistair whirled into the air, becoming only wind, whooshing around Cole's head.
"I'll be with you," he promised.
A moment later, a metal whistle dropped into Cole's bound hands. He closed his fingers tightly over it. When he looked at Jasper, a bottle of water was tucked into his pocket. Tamara had an acorn, and Kimaya a pack of matches that looked scorched on one end, as though Ravan hadn't wanted to stop burning.
"Prepare yourself," said Graves. "We will be flying to the tower."
All around, the mages rose up into the air. Cole could feel himself being lifted up, could feel the wind whooshing beneath him. But with Alistair so close, even though his magic was bound, he couldn't be afraid. He remembered how much he had wished for weightlessness, had wanted to fly so that he could avoid all the difficulties of having a leg that hurt a lot. But that had been a kid's wish. His problems now couldn't be solved by a little magic.
Maybe they can be solved by a lot of magic, Aaron said in his head.
They flew over fields and gray highways, snaking by underfoot, the forest and the magisterium retreating behind them. Cole glanced over to see Havoc being whirled through the air, his paws flailing, and Tamara nearby, her dark hair flying like a banner. She looked over at him and gave an encouraging smile. In the distance, the Golden Tower rose, ever closer. For being built so quickly and for no real purpose but to stall Alex, the Shimmering Tower was both beautiful and formidable. Cole wondered what purpose it might serve after today. Assuming, of course, that purpose wasn't as his tomb. They landed on a stretch of grass in front of the single door to the tower. As soon as their feet touched the ground, a dark cloud passed over the sky, signaling Alex's arrival with a bolt of lightning that struck a bare stretch of foliage, blackening it and making everyone jump.
"That ridiculous child!"
Graves ground out. From the sky, Alex and his retinue heaved into view. Alex was still on the back of his dragon-shaped chaos elemental, but now his outfit had gotten even more elaborate. He wore black, of course, and huge black boots with massive silver buckles in the shape of lightning bolts. Around his shoulders was a cape.
"Is that an actual cape?"
Aaron demanded.
"Yep,"
Cole thought. It definitely was. It was even fluttering in the breeze. Alex's hair was spiked up with gel. Flying beside him were two more chaos elementals, both in horse-like shapes that looked far less fixed. They sometimes seemed to have wings. Other times, instead of legs, they seemed to have the long, searching tentacles of octopi. Cole guessed one was for Anastasia. The other, he feared, was for Kimaya. As Alex landed, his cape whipped through the air, and Cole spotted the dull metal crown on his head, its spikes like teeth. For a moment, even though Cole knew it was all calculated, that Alex only cared about the illusion worked. Cole actually felt a thin tendril of fear and shuddered.
"Assembly people of the mage world and other luminaries, I am glad that you've decided to cave to my demands and acknowledge my superiority," said Alex. "This tower you've built me is pretty nice. I plan to reign from it quietly and not disturb you too much. I don't want to do any gross enemy of death stuff, like reanimating people or animals. That's not my thing. My thing is letting everyone know how awesome and scary I am."
"You mean everyone in the mage world?"
asked Graves.
Even though this was for show, he looked furious.
"You still intend to keep the great secrets of magic, don't you?"
Alex chortled, and the crowd of creatures around him hooted and cackled. It was much more frightening than anything he'd said. He might be a ridiculous child, as Graves had said, but he had access to enormous power and creatures that could wield it.
"The what?"
he sneered.
"The silence of the mage world,"
Graves thundered.
"We do not tell those without magic of the existence of magic. It endangers them, and endangers us. It was difficult enough to build this stupid tower without alerting them to the magic that was happening." "My tower isn't stupid,"
said Alex, and made a casual gesture in Graves's direction. Black fire shot from his fingers and swallowed up the assemblyman. In seconds, nothing was left but a charred circle in the grass.
Kimaya screamed,